Good morning, MGTOW man. I've had some adventures of late. And it's kind of like that sort of psychic weather, as that Irish guy likes to talk. I go blank. It's not a bad thing, I just do. I tried a vendor who was making coffee and sandwiches and toasted sandwiches and all this sort of stuff, and I came across them, their site online, and what happened was that it looked good, but everything that was sort of like, you know, when I go through that town, they're always closed. But you see, I might get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and stay busy till say 10, then I go to sleep for a couple of hours, then get up. But they're open at 7 and they close at 1. So for the last year or so, I've always missed them, you know. And so I contacted them on a, and said, you need to put, you know, what are your hours, you know, because it's not listed anywhere. And, so that was the initial sort of contact. And then I said, okay, I'll make the effort to go through that place a little bit earlier. And find out, you know, so I did. I went and stopped and had some food and stuff and a coffee, and that was good. Had a bit of a chat. And about a week later, I thought, you know, they're an independent sort of a little vendor. And what a lot of people don't know about is when you're preparing food, especially vegetables, these sorts of knives are not, you know, they're sort of, you know, the stabby sort of knives. Not very good knives for fucking doing your vegetables with, right? But these are the fucking ant's pants. These type, you know. And they're only about $6 or $7. And they are fucking superb. Just the thought of them just frightens me. They're so sharp, even out of the packet, you know. So the Ching Chongs have finally got their shit together to make these, right? And so they're about $6 or $7, and I go out of my way. For people who do food preparation, these knives, they're not for embedding into fucking pumpkins and then trying to lever the fucking lever it in half, because you break the fucking handle off. And they're not heavy cleavers for like chopping up a cattle carcass, you know, chopping up the bones and stuff like that, cutting all that sort of stuff down. But these are absolutely superb vegetable slices. So this is not super sharp. I haven't done it, dressed it in a long time, but oops, can't throw that out. But watch this. So if you're wanting to do vegetables, these are the fucking ant's pants. They're brilliant. And, you know, when you've got onions and capsicums and peppers, and carrots, cucumbers, wherever that went, these are fucking superb, and they're only about $7 each, you know. You know, tomatoes, all those sorts of things. It might be, here's an onion. Watch this. This one's a little bit funny, but yeah. So you get, that's sort of new out of the packet. But they are fucking superb. So I I make a habit of the other ones had slightly different grinds on them, more like straight cutthroat razors, you know. But when you're doing vegetables like avocados, tomatoes, onions, watercress, lettuce, all those sorts of things, those are absolutely superb knives. And so I gifted her one, you know. Just happened to pick it up, you know, because if you're in a food service type place, those are absolutely superb. And so, you know, and I had a toasted sandwich and a coffee and all that sort of shit. And I thought, well, I really hadn't eaten much the next previous sort of day, and I was pretty sort of hungry. And I thought, well, the toasted sandwich was really good, but, you know, if I haven't eaten for a day, I'll sort of say, think, fuck, I could have eaten about three or four of those toasted sandwiches, you know. And so I formulated an idea that instead of doing pricey toasted sandwiches, which are, you know, if you eat four of them at, say, $14 or $15 each, well, that's like about say, that's about $56-$60 for four sandwiches, you know, and that's like for a breakfast, for an automatic bypass, that's like straight to the supermarket and buy all your own ingredients and have a whole day and a half's food, you know. So I formulated that if you, you know, get something else on the menu, which is baked beans on toast, that's a good thing. People will buy that, you know. It's simple, it's fast, it's the ingredients are economical, and you can keep them ready to go, you know. And you could do it for $10, and for the addition of some fried bacon, you know, like chopped up bacon, eggs, two eggs, and some grated cheese, you could have baked beans on toast for $10, or baked beans on toast with bacon, cheese, and eggs for $20. Really simple to do. And for about a week or so, till I decided to go past this place again, I was getting, oh God, what's this guy? That Irish guy on MGTOW TV. I don't keep forgetting his name, I just never sort of use it, you know. But he talks about psychic weather, and for about a week or so, it's like, you know, being up on a really high fucking, a really high lighthouse over cliffs and a big coast and way out to sea, it's all sort of dark, not total pitch dark, but like very late afternoon, early evening sort of dark. And there's storm clouds and shit on the horizon and lightning and shit, you know what I mean? And I felt like there was, don't go there, don't get involved, don't fucking, you know, don't try your sales pitch on with this chick, you know? And But today, everything, time and location and weather and all this sort of stuff, it all seemed to just fucking align. And so I stopped there on my way past and just said, oh yeah, I'll have a coffee. And I tried the sales pitch on of doing the, you know, baked beans on toast type menu, you know, for hungry travellers, people who are coming through and their long drives and, you know, cause from one major centre to another, it's about, oh, fuck. It's on a stretch of road that's about 600 k's long, you know. Maybe 700. Fuck. You know. And so, you know, I did. I got a coffee and tried the sales pitch and said, you know, this might be really good for your business, you know. And and in the proceeding, there was a whole heap of information that this person, she'd put up about herself, saying, you know, mental health problems, depression and anxiety and medications, and, you know, had a brief talk about that. I said, oh, so what sort of stuff you're on? And I told her about, you know, Stephen Molyneux, how he said that there's a whole industry of taking prescription drugs where more and more people are getting put on these things and more people are getting addicted to them and less people are, you know, getting well. You know, it's a therapy that you take that, you know, destroys your life. It doesn't make you happy, healthy, well-adjusted, anything. It just makes everything fucking worse. And, you know, I work with a lot of fucking addicted people. And one of those sorts of things is most people fail at the recovery sort of process because they're not prepared to commit fully, to fully commit in to doing whatever it takes to work their way through their issues. They just kind of want to have a bit of a fucking bit of a yak and, oh yeah, you know, what I call the Sharon and Darren talks where we have, you know, Shazza Australia, they call it, they abbreviate people's names to Sharon and Darren, from Sharon or from Darren and Sharon to Dazza and Shazza, you know. So they have the Dazza and Shazza talk. Oh mate, our football teams are doing this, our football teams are doing that, you know. You know, and so, yeah, you know, so I see lots of people fucking up all over the place. They won't commit in, they won't follow through, they didn't talk cheap, so hurrah. And, you know, there are some people who need to be on assorted medications for various mental conditions, because when they're taking them, they become sort of stabilized and sort of functional, and when they go off those medications, they just run amok, you know, just bad. And so you know, having a history of, you know, depression and anxiety and seeing how these industries, there's more and more people getting drugged up and they're not getting well. They're just making more sales for drugs and more addicted people and more bullshit by keeping people stoned out of their fucking minds, you know? And so what I didn't push the issues very hard at all. I just said, you know, Stephen Molyneux has put that out, that most, you know, there's more and more people who are getting all the cures, but they're not being cured. You know, and yeah, and then a part of this psychic storm comes is that I myself come from a family full of psychotic fucking oh god, fuck. Go away. We sent you an SMS to say you got to check your email for more information. And anyway, along comes Mumsy, sort of secretly sort of sliding in from the side. And then they proceeded, the 50-ish year old Dora proceeded to have, you know, behind the counter, this prolonged little discussions with Mumsy. And I thought, that's really sly. You know, I just felt the vibe. I just, like, obviously there's things that are none of my fucking business. Like, you know, they don't want to be discussing their takings or some other fucking whatever. But this felt that, like, that really secretive, sly, in on all the gossip kind of crap. You know? Oh, he's going to cut your head off and fuck your ass and, oh, my God, you're dead. I heard this about him. I heard that about him. You know? It just had that really sneaky, sly, gutter sniping from behind the lines kind of vibe about it, you know? So the universe gave me the grace to see these people in action. And when someone is like a borderline psychotic, like they got fucking scrambled fucking tattoos all over herself and, you know, they're taking prescription drugs, and one of the things about borderline psychotics is they tend to be very high conflict people. And one of this woman's claim to fame was always being bullied at school and all this other sort of stuff. And I thought, well, my mother's a borderline psychotic, you know. And I, she's so insane that if someone put their hands around her neck and strangled her, I would like to interview the person who did it, and I'd probably be going in acting on their defence. You know, I'd be prepared to testify on their behalf and get a summons of get a determination of no guilt. You know, and so there's all this secret behind the lines kind of stuff. There's, you know, treatment for fucking anxiety and depression and being bullied, you know, because borderline psychotics are fucking high conflict people. They cause fucking destabilization and conflict in everybody around them, you know. So I saw that kind of stuff. And when people are on their meds, it's like when you talk to someone, you got the I'm talking to you. But when they're off in their personality disorders, they've got their face there, but there's a voice in the back of their fucking head, so they're talking at you, but you're sort of watching the entity. Oh, where's my fucking arms go? But you're talking, you got the entity sort of back here going, oh, yeah, that's odd. You got the entity back here, they're inside their fucking mind and out in the back somewhere. You know, you're not actually dealing with a person in the present, in here now sort of stuff, you know. And I saw that going on, you know. And I saw all of that sort of stuff and I just thought, yeah, get the fuck out of there. You're not obligated to engage with this person. You're not obligated to stay in contact with this person. You're not obligated to fucking stay in any sort of interaction or relationship at any sort of, you know, just, hello, how are you? Lovely day. Yes, I'll have a coffee, thanks, and fries, you know. Not obligated to do anything with this person. And seeing that the family, that where they're at as people, and seeing the family that they come from by what they get up to with Mumsy, my whole entire family is wall-to-wall psychotics, just fucking crazies, you know? Oh. you know, I don't know the exact number, but I'd say it's about, there's my biological father and my mother, and then my mother and they split up because they're at each other's throats, literally. And my mother's a borderline psychotic, and the next, I think it was, next three men that she had significant involved with, two of them had wives that sort of, you know, drank themselves to death drinking vanilla essence and perfume and stuff in their beds, you know, or overdosed on pills and drinking and stuff and died, you know. And then they got my mother. Jesus, fuck. And then my father's, the first one died of cancer. The second one was my mother. And then the next few, their husbands had died drinking, you know? So, and everybody, all the brothers and sisters and half-brothers and half-sisters and step-brothers and step-sisters and all this fucking crap, they're all crazies from addicted families, you know? So, and oh, God. Oh, God. So when I'm, you know, interacting with the crazy at the coffee shop, I'm really aware of all this sort of stuff that's going on. And yeah. And for the last sort of 50 years, all of my relationships have been with people who are either from crazy families or are crazies or are addicts, you know. So you get a lot of people in Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous and Al-Anon and all the other sort of fellowships, and they're all as insane as all fuck. And most of them won't do anything about themselves. And I just looked at this woman and thought there may be biological issues there, you know, borderline psychotic, and they need to be medicated, you know, manic depressive kind of issues or whatever. But then there's the whole heap of fucking dysfunctional family crap going on behind it, you know. You know, the secret little, oh, well, I heard this about him, I heard that about him. You know, and that's what I did as I came away from there. It had been about a week since I'd seen it, and then I saw all this fucking crap going on and all the information and the noble social hero and all this fucking stuff, and then her with mummy and all this other sort of... I thought, you know, don't exclude this person entirely, you know. If you're travelling past and you really need to stop for a coffee and a toasted sandwich or whatever, maybe, you know. But, you know, in terms of red flags, that's the thing. There's not just like one red flag. There's about six major fucking really big red flags that says, you know, you might be a really nice guy, you might have lots of sort of good ideas and optimism and hope and be willing to help out a little bit, you know, but this is not the place to do it. This is not the person to be doing it with, you know. You know, you gifted them a really nice food preparation type knife, you know. The grind could be the hollow grind on it. Oh, how do we get that? The hollow grind on it, that could be a lot flatter, and to make it into like a straight razor type thing, but that as is, it's still a, the other models had thinner blades, you know, but yeah, market sort of stuff, but yeah, it's not your problem. these are not your issues. You don't need the complications. There's major red flags. Get out and stay out. You know, and that Sheridan, that's his name, Thomas Sheridan. And he talks about the psychic weather, you know what I mean? And so that's what I sort of see, is it like, you know, I don't grovel on my knees before Jesus type stuff, but I'm aware of that there's things in the universe and they seem to, and they happen for a reason, at a time and a place and a reason, and I see what's going on. And I just had a really disturbed feeling about this whole issue, trying to help this person out and help them get their business going and all this sort of stuff, you know. And just get out of there. So I did. Thank you. But